go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 45 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. 45, we're going to give a shout-out to Michael Jordan on his first return. That's the number he wore, 45. The year was 1995, and he scored the famous double nickel against the Knicks in the Garden. That's okay. At the time, I was more of a Jordan Bulls fan. I converted into a Knicks fan. I know. You're not supposed to convert fandoms. But hey, I live in Connecticut, a Northeast guy. I'm a Yankee fan. I'm a Giant fan, UConn fan. It makes sense. Remember, Verbal Graffiti, we're now on Spotify and Apple as a podcast. You can find us on YouTube and plenty of reels condensed of these episodes in all social media, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube as well, and also X. And as always, if you have any top-heavy, attractive girlfriends between the ages of 20 and 40, let them know about what we're doing here at Verbal Graffiti and let them know that I am a whore and available. Look at the B-Man. I'm looking to try to find boobies more so than likes and subscribers. Maybe that's why we're failing so far. Anyways, been doing some thinking, and I have, I won't say it's an addiction, but I really enjoy online shopping. Not so much the items I get. I just love the feeling of pressing that button, that final sale. You press the button and then you get the little circle in the middle of your laptop or your phone comes on, and then it sends and you get that email, and that little, you get the little fluttering, you know, the flutter. Ooh, should I have done that? I don't know. Why did I spend that much money? That little bit of anxiety, that little dopamine rush you get. I'm not addicted to it, but I am drawn to it, and I do it way more than I should. I was scrolling through X a few nights ago, and a guy was talking about, I think it was Ozepkin, that super weight loss medicine that all the celebrities are using in Hollywood. Now, I've never had much of a weight problem. It's not like I work out a whole lot. It's just thankful that's just how my genetics are. But this guy was talking about, dude, that was so 2 years ago. The thing now that everyone is using that people are going to be talking about 2 years from now is copper. What was it? Copper elixir or something like that. Something that makes your skin look better. And I've never been a skin cream, a moisturizer guy. I just use soap, water. That's it. But he was in it, and then I started researching it. I'm like, oh, I need some of this mirror. What's the name? It's some like cream. It's Mirror Skin, I believe is the name of it. So I was looking it up, and I was like, should I get this? Should I not? And I pressed the button, and it's not so much the button. It's the waiting for the package to arrive, because you don't buy it right. Like, you buy it, but it doesn't come until a few days later. And that in-between period, like every day waiting, like not knowing if this is the day you're going to get it, there is a thrill I get from that. I guess gamblers get that thrill. I don't get it from gambling. I get it from online shopping. And tell me if any of you have ever had this happen to you. Have you ever had a package arrive and you didn't know what was in the package because you don't remember buying anything? And then you start doing the math in your head. You're like, wait, I was drinking 4 nights ago. And then you're, oh shit, I drank too much and now I don't know what it is I bought. And that's a terrifying proposition. Like, knowing whatever's in that package is where your mind was at, or in my case, my mind was at when I was blackout drunk and They finding that out when you open the package where your mind was at. Ooh, man, that gives you the heebie-jeebies. I hope that doesn't happen to any of you. It doesn't happen to me too often, but it has happened every once in a while. So, I need to tame it with buying facial creams now. One and done. But I'll let you know. I'll give you a review next week whether this mirror skin thing makes me look like a 30-year-old. I don't get the Taylor Swift. Let me pull back, okay? I was in West Hartford. I was talking to this lady comedian who she's kind of like a deadhead. She travels around with the Grateful Dead all summer. Like, she's one of those people. And I was asking her, and she was wearing a Radiohead t-shirt. And we started talking music, and I go, oh, yeah, I've seen Radiohead. And she goes, oh, where did you see him? I said, oh, I saw him in Europe, and don't remember what city, but it was huge. There were it looked like there were maybe 100,000 people there. And she was like, got really interested in my experience, and it became very apparent quickly into our conversation that I wasn't actually at the concert. What the B-Man had done is I watched a concert on YouTube of Radiohead, a set they had at some festival. I think it was in Berlin. And this comedian, she kind of got angry at me because she's a huge fan of Radiohead, has never seen them. I guess they don't tour a whole lot. And she was really excited that, she knows somebody who had actually seen them. But she told me, no, you didn't see them. Like, you watched the concert, but you didn't see them in concert. I disagree. If you watch a concert online, on the internet, you saw the concert. I know with comedy, like people say, like I understand comedy, like you do need to be in the room to feel the vibe, the energy, the tightness of it, the emotions, just the subtleties that doesn't come across on Netflix or whatever TV subscription you're using to watch comedy. But with music, hey man, I saw Radiohead, man. I wasn't at the concert, but I saw the concert. And people ask me, I'm going to say, I'm going to stay firm to my original opinion. I was at the concert. And you should also know I am not a live music guy. I do not understand spending money to go see a band play songs that you've already listened to hundreds of times. That is a waste of money to me. It's more so just I don't know how to behave at a concert. When I was a teenager, early 20s, I would go to this outdoor amphitheater in Hartford, Connecticut. It was more so for the tailgating, the getting drunk, the hanging out with my friends, spending a day together, more so than it was ever about the music. But now that I'm a little bit older, like I have friends who spend hundreds of dollars to go see a band they've already seen tens, dozens of times before. I don't get it. When I'm at a concert, I can never hear anybody because the music is too loud, so I can't talk. I'm not just going to dance. I'm just going to dance by myself while we're all staring forward. It's a very beta activity to me. Like, spending money to watch somebody else perform and you kind of know what it is they're going to perform. It's not like, when you go to a Yankee game or a baseball or basketball or football game, like, you don't really know what the outcome is going to be when you go into an event. With music, you do. Like, they play their set, you cheer, you get sunburned. Like, someone's probably, you're smelling weed. Like, I don't know how to behave at concerts. I get really in my head about, I'm thinking everybody else around me is looking at me when I know that's not the case. Everyone is just looking at, I don't know, Billy Joel, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Billie Eilish, who, by the way, I just found out last week she has huge donkaroos, so now I am a big Billie Eilish fan. For some reason, I thought she was flat-chested, but no, she is very top-heavy, so hey, good for you, Billie. Concerts, I don't, like, online shopping, yeah, I'll buy some skin cream that has like five people on Reddit raving about it. I'll do that. But concerts, it's a waste of your money. It's a waste of your time. Just Apple Music, Spotify, Pandora. Like, it probably sounds better through those avenues than it does live in person. And this all brings me to Taylor Swift. Now let's go to the other side of, okay, we're looking at the musicians, but let's look at from the musician's point of view. If you are the musician, I don't understand female musicians, because as a comic, the reason why I do stand up is for groupies to have sex with strange after I have a killer set. That's a whole part of being a performer, being an artist, is that rock and roll lifestyle. And I'm seeing all these videos of Taylor Swift. I believe she's touring around Europe now. And, you know, hundreds of thousands, football or, you know, soccer stadiums. Like, what does she do after she performs? And she lip syncs all her songs. She just walks off stage and, like, is she fucking groupies every night? Like, is she getting strange peen every night? I don't think, what's the fun of being a female musician? Is this misogynistic of me to point this out? I believe it is, but I don't get it. Like, when No Doubt was a big thing, Gwen Stefani, like, she would play her music, she'd get off stage, all her bandmates, all the guys, they would probably fuck strange, they would fuck groupies, but then what would she do? Just call her boyfriend or talk to her husband? Or was she dating a bandmate? I think she wouldn't have been married to a bandmate. I don't know. That was the 90s. I just, the whole music industry, I don't get it. I mean, P. Diddy, shall I say anymore, right? I mean, everybody's, let's leave P. Diddy alone. I'm not an investigator like that. That was way too much of an intro. Ending online shopping, although I'm not ending it. I love online shopping. You won't see me at a concert anytime soon. Let's get into a Reddit post I found. This one comes from the subreddit Birth Control. How soon are pills effective? Hi, everyone. I'm very new to this thing, so bear with me. We will. I might seem quite impatient, but basically last Sunday, the 9th, on day one of my period, I took my very first Yaz pill and had unprotected sex pretty much 10 minutes later. LOL. Laugh out loud. Am I still protected? My periods are typically 7 days long, so ovulation shouldn't happen for a while anyways, but I'm still wondering if I rushed it. Was the pill effective then? No. No, the pill was not effective within 10 minutes of taking it. Now, let me disclaimer and say to B-Man, Brian Glass, the people's degenerate, I am not a licensed doctor, but I do believe taking a birth control pill and then letting your boy toy slide his peen inside of you within 10 minutes of taking your first birth control pill, it does not make you safe from possibly getting pregnant. Now I will. Are there really people this dull witted? I'm trying to think of a fancy $64,000 word to use. Like, are there really people who are thinking you could take a birth control pill and have sex, you know, before your first commercial break and then you're good? This is how I do math, okay? Birth control pill, the Yaz pill, I've never taken it, so I have no experience with that. I do have experience with other over-the-counter medication. Let's say, for example, I have a throbbing headache, it's humid out, the head is just banging, I pop an Advil, an ibuprofen. I know within 10 minutes, that pill's not going to work. It's going to take at least, let's say, 30 minutes. Will you agree with me on that? It takes about 30 minutes for an Advil to take effect and help soothe your body or numb the pain that you're having. This is how my mind works. That pill to get from my mouth to my brain that's throbbing during my headache, that takes about a half hour. Now, let's do your pill. You take the Yaz birth control pill, and that pill's got to go all the way down to your vagina, uterus, pubic area. So let's do the math in my head. So it's like from here to here, the distance from here to here, that's about, depending on the length of your torso, which we don't know, let's say it's about 6 times the length as it is from here to my head. So if it takes a half hour to work from here to my head, from here to your vagina, for your birth control pill to be effective, it should take about, so 30 times 6, 3 hours. 3 hours is a wait period before you should have had sex the first time after taking your first Yaz pill. How's that sound, babes? Is that good math? Am I way off with that? My math, that's how my math works. Regardless of what anybody tells you, and I do believe 10 minutes was way too short of a period before you start having unprotected sex, you're going to be pregnant within 12 months. That, without a doubt, you will be. No matter what anybody says, if you're popping your first BC pill and having sex, raw dogging it, bareback, within a quarter of an hour, you don't make rational decisions. You should go to your local Salvation Army, Goodwill, and start buying baby clothing and supplies now, because there's no way you make it to age 21 without being pregnant. I wish MTV still had that show Teen Mom. I don't think they do. But if they did, like, you would be a prime candidate to be one of the pregnant ladies on it, because clearly you're not rational. You are not a rational human being. And to be quite frank, I'm not upset with it. You know, not everybody puts their savings in the S&P 500. You know, some of us are irrational actors. That's what gives the world the drama, the comedy, the tragedy that we need for the arts. You're a prime muse for us artists, and for your life. And that's why I'm kind of like, I'm not going to shit on you, because people like you are kind of what makes people like me have joy in life. I don't even know really how to express that, really. I had something else written down about that. Oh, carpe diem. Carpe diem. Even if it wasn't, you know, even if it wasn't the best decision, having sex right after popping your pill, I would have loved to have been a perv on the wall while you were having that conversation with your boy toy. Like, all right, so you get the birth control pill, you're in the bedroom, like you take the pill, and your boy toy's just like, did you chew it? Because if you chew it, it dissolves quicker and it will work faster, so you should chew it. And then were you like, oh, I'm sorry, I just swallowed it. Like, I didn't know to chew it. I didn't know that was an option. And then did your boy toy, did he try convincing? He was like, what? Yeah, it's only been 10 minutes, but I'm a stallion. Like, I'll last at least 30 before I come. So if you really think about it, that's like 40 minutes. And that should take enough time for the pill to dissolve. So let's make some cream pies. I feel for you for your future. I hope your boy toy or you or your family has money, because you're going to need some funds for raising a family very, very soon. Let's just hope they're not twins. I did do a little bit of research though, because I want to help you out. And what did it? A simple Google search. So I Googled the Yaz pill, which I did not know, but that is a birth control pill. Now they say you should wait at least 7 days on the pill before you can have like unprotected sex. 7 days before unprotected sex, like, you don't have to worry about getting pregnant, or the pill is effective after 7 days. But luckily for you, according to the Google search I do, said that if you're on your period, especially if it's your first day of period, that you're not at risk of getting pregnant. So technically, you are safe from being pregnant. So maybe I'm wrong and you're the smarty pants. So again, I'm just a dude. You're just a girl just trying to get yours. We're just trying to get through life. Let's go see some photos. Verbal Graffiti, remember to like and subscribe and tell all your friends. I advise, though, you do not tell your family and coworkers. I do not want them to disown you or fire you. Thinking about Travis Kelce, is that his first name? And Taylor Swift, my sense tells me they are not in the Illuminati, although they do side with the goals and aspirations that the Illuminati do have. They are pro, you know, shot in the arm, and it seems like they are kind of trying to program people, you know, the minions are like ourselves, to think and act certain ways. But she does seem to dress not provocatively, so I guess that's a good thing, as far as, you know, she's not trying to infiltrate our youth with, you know, with what we're trying to do here. I just, she is not. And Kelce is not, they're not on the Beyonce, Jay-Z level. Like, those two are definitely in the Illuminati. Now, whether it's the Black Illuminati or the other Illuminati, I'm not really sure if those are different ones, or if they all, if it's kind of like Game of Thrones, where there's like seven different Illuminatis and they work together and sometimes they go to battle. I am not anywhere close to that world or those beefs. So let's just continue to try to be ridiculous and funny here at Verbal Graffiti. This one comes from the subreddit OnlyFans Advice. Replying to subs. Do you chat with new subs who have not tipped or bought any content yet? I know there's a setting to where you can only receive messages from subs who have tipped, but I haven't turned it on yet. Would you recommend turning it on? Yes, I would recommend turning it on and responding to anybody who comes to your OnlyFans account. Now, this may come to a surprise to many of you. I don't advise you do OnlyFans. I don't advise any lady or babe do OnlyFans, but it seems like you're already in that direction. So yeah, go ahead and subscribe. But if you have not gone down that route yet to make an OnlyFans account, I'm not a big fan of the OnlyFans. And here's my reasons why. I have a couple of reasons. Number one, OnlyFans, like, it is a entity. It is a business. So if you're paying, like, the lady's subscription for her OnlyFans, let's, hypothetically speaking, you have to pay her $10 a month to get her content. There is a percentage of that $10 that goes to the business that is OnlyFans. And that kind of makes OnlyFans an online pimp. Now, my moral compass won't allow me to do that. Like, I don't want any money going to the pimp. I want all the money going to the lady who's providing the services. I think we should somehow try to cut out that middleman. That's number one. And number two, when it comes to OnlyFans, OnlyFans is not an online monogamous relationship. And that's why, personally, I don't subscribe to anyone's OnlyFans. Because, yes, I like you. I'd be willing to pay you $10. But there are also 300 other bungholes that I want to see on the internet. And I don't have $310 to give all those bungholes. And that's why I don't feel it's just for me to give $10 to only one OnlyFans account. Now, with all that ridiculousness out of the way, and I do believe all of that, absolutely, you should be responding to the Johns who are looking at your OnlyFans account. You're viewing this through the prism of a business. It seems like your mindset is only, what do I have to do to make money on OnlyFans? Which is understandable, but I believe you would have a much more enjoyable, fulfilling, a more fun experience with OnlyFans if you focused on the other aspects that OnlyFans can provide you. And if you do all those other things, that's when the money will reel in. Because what I'm saying is, it's like, it's hard to get subscribers on OnlyFans now. Like, I think there are very few accounts that actually make money. And it's very evident, even as just dumb Johns on the internet, and I use that term affectionately, Johns, like, it's so easy for us to tell when the babe is in it just for the money. What I mean by that is, even though I haven't subscribed to an OnlyFans account yet, I have been to strip clubs, gentlemen's clubs, and not often, but I have been for bachelor parties and, you know, other random nights. And it's so clear, even in a drunken state, like, as a John, like, who is there, like, who's having fun and who's just zonked out on drugs and just doing what she has to do to get through the shift and get her dollar bills and pay for baby formula. Now, the ladies who are there, the strippers who are having fun and engaging with the customers, the Johns, and talking with the staff and kind of have a, you know, a hop to their stilettos, and they're laughing and they're jovial, like, that does emanate, that does radiate from them. And even if they're not as good looking, even if their boobies are not as big, even if they're not showing as much skin as all the other gals, like, I just suspect that stripper, she's the one who's going to end up making more money. And more importantly, she's the one who's going to stay in the smut game longer and make more money that way, because she's actually enjoying the smut she's providing us Johns. Now, I think that's what you should really start asking yourself. Like, before we get to the, hey, should I respond to people who message me without giving me money? What you should be asking yourself is, why are you doing OnlyFans? Are you in this just for the money? Are you in this just for the fame? Are you in this just for the lifestyle OnlyFans can provide you? Are you into this smut because you love voyeurism? You love dominating the Johns and knowing that there are Johns out there who worship you. Do you enjoy, like, the dom sub dynamic that OnlyFans can provide? Do you enjoy the creativity, the artistic aspect that you can get through a system like OnlyFans? Now, if it's more the former, which I believe it is through your post, OnlyFans ain't for you. Like, you're not going to last in this very long, and you're probably going to quit before, you know, you get the ball rolling and you get the Johns, like, on your leash. I'm saying the word Johns too much in this one. I just love saying smut and Johns. Those are my two favorite words to say, and I will say them often here at Verbal Graffiti, as I have in the past and continue to do now. Now, you should we be responding to the Johns, though, and not just for the fun of it, because you want to do something to separate yourself from the other OnlyFans creators. Because the creators who have millions of followers, they don't have time to respond to their Johns, to their subscribers. Now, they may have like, employees that respond to the Johns, like, pretending to be the OnlyFans actress, but they're not actually responding themselves, just because they can't respond to, you know, 1,000 strangers a day. And even if they could, like, it'd be too taxing on them. But for you, someone just starting out, like, you don't have a big fan base, it's not taxing. And even if you do not respond, I believe the work you're doing is going to become prosaic. It's going to be stale. Like, how many times can you take your panties off? Can you play with yourself before you just get, it just becomes dull for you. So, yeah, definitely respond to people, even if they're not giving you money. But here's the key. It comes down to sales. The number one thing you learn in sales is ABC, always be closing. So respond to these Johns, interact with them, find something out about them. You know, it never hurts in sales. And this is what OnlyFans is. It is sales. It never hurts to learn about your customer base. And the only way to learn about your customer base is to interact with them. So even if they're not giving you money yet, even if they're not giving you those tips, talk to them, try to extract information about them and who they are. And what you might find out is that there's a common thread between all these giants who are responding to you. And then what you might discover is there's some type of niche that you attract. And if you can discover whatever that niche is, you can make your content around that niche. And that could kind of be your lane, a way to kind of break through into this weird OnlyFans smut content. So that is my advice, is talk to as many of these giants as you can. And ABC, always be closing. Best of luck with OnlyFans. If you want to let us know your name, your account here at Verbal Graffiti, hit me up in social media, and I'll make sure to give you a plug in future episodes. And to everybody else, go suck a fat one.